Welcome to The Doctor Diaries, a podcast which will take you behind the scenes of the intriguing medical world. Join me, Hanya Rothersby, an experienced business consultant in the medical sphere, as I chat to our guests who will take us through their insights, experiences and ideas as an expert, thought leader and trailblazer in this exciting medical world. Welcome to the Doctor Diaries podcast. Today, we are here at Melbourne, Australia, at the Australian Society of Cosmetic Dermatology Conference, and it's our absolute pleasure to speak to Dr. Raymond Wu. Raymond obtained his medical degree from the University of Hong Kong in 2006. He has strong interests in facial aesthetic injections, and he's developed various unique injection techniques for different regions of the face. He is a key opinion leader for many companies, including Teoxane, who have brought him to Australia for this particular conference. And I'd like to thank them for introducing me to Dr. Raymond Wu for today's interview. Raymond also has experience as a medical director and chief medical officer in the biggest aesthetic chain in Hong Kong. Apart from his aesthetic talents, his strong management expertise and the ability to create value for businesses have differentiated him from an ordinary speaker and doctor, in fact. He continuously offers advice and help train different group practices for strategic planning around the world, which is so exciting, because Raymond, that's what I do here as well. Nice. In Australia, which is so exciting.
Perfect.
As a business consultant. He's also a faculty member of International Micro Aesthetic Surgery Association and committee member of the Association of Doctors in Aesthetic Medicine. And on top of all that, because Raymond obviously doesn't do enough, he also owns and runs his own training academy, the Asia Pacific Aesthetic Academy. Welcome, Dr. Raymond Wu.
Thank you for having me. My absolute honour to be here.
It's so exciting to be able... I'm still feeling excited that we're seeing international guests coming post-COVID. Yeah. I know it's been a little while now, but it's so exciting to see people face-to-face. So... thank you for agreeing to join us today. And this year on the Doctor Diaries podcast, we're really focusing on that secret sauce, the success of successful business owners and how that came about. So maybe you can start by telling me about your business in a quick, succinct way on how that's occurred.
Right. Actually, I would not say I'm successful. I might be in the right path. I might be doing better than some, but to me, I'm humbled. There's still a long way to go. I'm still young. I believe I'm still young.
So, well, looking at you, you look quite young.
Well, I've got three kids. My eldest daughter is 11.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
you know, like the first time I was in Australia was actually my honeymoon 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So Australia, always good memories for me.
Oh, it would be. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Oh my God, you went on a conference, were you?
Oh no.
Oh, thank goodness. Where did you come to in Australia?
I stayed in Sydney for a couple of days, and then we went up to Gold Coast, and then go to the Cairns for diving, and then we did hot air balloon and all that.
Oh, so you've done Great Barrier Reef?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So it was absolutely amazing.
I know. That is something else, isn't it? That's for us Australians, it's a very popular family holiday destination for sure.
Yes.
You're back again.
Yes.
So has it been 13 years between visits, or have you been back?
I've been back a couple of times in Sydney, but those were conferences. So I did not have time at all to visit the city at all.
And this time, obviously, not again.
No.
No. Oh, well, I'm glad you got to experience Australia. And it's on such a romantic occasion as well.
Yes.
Three children, well done.
Yes.
Do you have, a boy, girl?
Two girls and a boy.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was really, really good.
Yes.
But until COVID hits, we were like all trapped. You know how small the apartments are in Hong Kong.
Yes, yes.
It's just struggling.
Oh, I could. That would have been a real struggle. I love Hong Kong. I've been there on many, many occasions, but it's very much apartment-based living.
Nice.
And if you couldn't have got out, I could imagine. Well, if you've survived that, you can survive anything.
Like, we had three iPads at the same time, like doing online classes with the kids at school. So it's like you can hear the other iPad from one room to the other. It was like, oh, chaotic.
And then you're consulting with patients on another iPad. Yeah, great.
Just doing webinars on the thing. Wow, oh my God.
Well, you've survived that. Yes. Unbelievable.
I'm glad it's over.
Right. Yeah, I think we're all feeling... I think there's still going to be a lot of PTSD.
Yes, for sure.
You know, post-COVID trauma, that we're all going to be feeling that effect for this entire generation.
For sure.
But no, it's good. Which is really interesting. I suppose a lot of businesses went through difficult times because of COVID, but you've somehow managed to pull it all together.
Yeah.
And I know you said I'm just starting out, or I don't know if I'm unsuccessful yet, yep. But working with a lot of businesses, I think a lot of business owners say that about that, because you're constantly on that business journey. So maybe just take us through your journey and what your businesses are and what, you know, motivated you to go down these particular paths.
So you can see me as wearing three hats at the same time. So one is where I do management, where I manage the group, where I manage doctors, nurses, dentists. So I have to have a management skills on monitoring how they work, the quality, and the safeguarding, the results and the patients and complaints, all that. So that's one hat. Second hat is where I'm being a speaker. I'm being a trainer. And the third hat would be I run my own training academy. So it's quite different in a way that the different skill sets you need to gain are quite unique. So let me just talk it through one by one. For doing management at that time, I was working in the largest group in Hong Kong. And to be a doctor, we know nothing about management. Mm. We know nothing about financials. We know nothing about what's going on behind the scenes, you know. Mm. What drives the patient to your clinic? What drives a patient to spend a little bit more in your clinic? You have absolutely no idea. Doctors are not trained commercially. So that was a challenge for me. But lucky I had a really good mentor. So he was working in Allergan. So he was in a management position. And then later he started his own company. So we worked together after that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you were able to leverage off his corporate knowledge.
Yes, yes.
And bring it to your own businesses. That's fantastic.
Yes.
So essentially that... And I'm finding that it's that coaching and mentoring. Well, that's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the key is to open your mind. There is always a conflict between commercials and medical, especially aesthetics. Aesthetics, there is absolutely no right or wrong by doing certain things. Say, if you have appendicitis, you've got to do surgery. There's no doubt about that. It's very clear. Is very, very clear. But for aesthetics, sometimes there's a gray zone between. So do you need to do the filler injections? You don't need to. You will survive without that.
Yes.
So when clinicians come into working in a group which is commercially driven, so obviously the sales wants to push more patients to do more treatments. But on the other hand, how do injectors safeguard that? Which is a fine art.
Yeah.
You have to juggle that.
Well, how did you come to an agreement with yourself in regards to that compromise between the commercial needs for the business and the actual outcomes for the patients? So, 'cause that's, to be honest, working with medical practitioners, so I'm as a business coach and a consultant and advisor, the biggest journey I often find is, you know, as a doctor, you're opening a business, is jumping over to understand the principles of what makes a successful business, but then being comfortable with applying those principles to your own business. So how did you overcome that dichotomy?
Well, I think communication and education is the best way to do. So if you have somebody who sells the treatments for you, obviously, you have to train him or her to know what you want to do. So they cannot oversell. That is absolutely cannot do that. So it's up to how you educate your staff to speak the right things and to pick the right options for the patients. Mm-hmm. So secondly, I think sometimes there will be a conflict. It's all about coming up with a plan B. So say the sales have educated the patient to do A treatment, But then when you see the patient, you think she's not indicated for this particular treatment. Mm. It's worse that you just turn her down. Mm. The best is to come up with a plan B.
Absolutely. Yes. So really, I suppose that's what you're saying is the patients will come in with a concern.
Yeah.
But it's really that education piece.
Yes.
Educating them about the yes. process of aging yeah. and what it means to them, and you as the professional providing them with yeah. a suitable alternative.
Yeah. yeah.
And your patients are receptive to that technique.
Yes.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I think the best thing in Asia or Hong Kong is that we have a lot of tools. We have many products. So if the patient is not indicated or not suitable for a particular product, we still have many, many, many more in our toolbox
yes.
to offer to our patients. Unlike here, I know it's limited. So sometimes or most of the times, you cannot have a plan B or difficult to come up with a plan B.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a little bit easier, makes my life a little bit easier in Hong Kong.
Yeah, in that absolutely. Sense. Having the options.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the challenges businesses that I work with is you're reliant a lot on your staff.
Yes.
To communicate your prescription for that patient
yep.
or work under your medical pathways and directives.
Yeah.
And communicate those to patients and follow those through.
Yeah.
But the most difficult thing is getting the staff trained up and following those pathways or the way you like to do. So what is your secret to finding the right people and getting them to work in the way you want to work?
I think many commercial parties or companies, they set the KPI wrong. Most of them, they set the KPI on the numbers, on the sales. But I set my KPI partially on the services.
Right.
So that way, they are not just driving for the numbers, but at the same time, they're driving for the aftercare. They're right. driving for the customer service. So that sort of like reduces the conflicts between the medical part and the commercial part.
Yes.
But most group owners, they don't look at that. They just look at the numbers. They just chase the numbers. They just chase the sales. So that's just one tip.
That is a very good tip. And do you find that the team within your clinic have are more motivated by sure. those KPIs because?
Oh sure, of course.
Yeah, fantastic.
Of course.
And how's your patient response to that?
Well, they feel different.
Yeah.
You know, when, not the doctor, when the clinic staff, like, is so genuine, they're just so passionate about not just how much you spend today, but how is your swelling?
Yes.
Are there any bruising? Okay, maybe you come back tomorrow and see the doctor for follow-up.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of
So that intimacy. Let's call it customer service, really.
Yeah, customer service.
And that is, traditionally seeing a medical practitioner is all about using your expertise to provide a diagnosis and some sort of treatment.
Yeah.
So Raymond, what's interesting here that we're talking about is patient services, or let's be more commercial about it, and it's really customer service.
Yes.
So you're understanding as a successful business that bit about that yeah. customer service. So yeah. because that's important to your business, how have you found that in terms of retention of patients and that recall and them coming back? Is it a challenge to bring them back?
There's always a challenge of bringing them back because they are very price sensitive and very price cautious. They go to social media, they see the same treatment with a cheaper price elsewhere. It's very easy for them to just go over and try. So I think at the end of the day, the customer journey is important at your clinic.
Right.
So the first step, they go into your clinic, how your staff greet them, how do you take before and after photographs? How is your consultation? How is your decoration?
Oh my goodness.
Do you
yes.
give them coffee? Do you give them water? Do you give them a little tiny sweet after, you know?
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's music to my ears.
Yeah. All these details.
Yes. I often, when I'm presenting, I like to use the analogy of airlines.
Yeah.
So airlines are very good at every touch point.
Yeah.
You have with the airline, from your online booking to checking in to who greets you as you're walking on the plane,
Absolutely.
Looking at the board. That is, I'm not saying it's always a good experience, let's face it,
yep.
but they understand that patients or customers that your brand is represented at every touch point with that consumer.
Yes.
And I'm so excited to hear that you've realized that. So is it, can you give me any tips or things that you've introduced that have been quite well received?
I think it's a very good tip for the audience, you know, when your patients leave your clinic after they've gone back, you send them a message. Ask your staff to send her WhatsApp. If you use WhatsApp here, just send her a simple text on the reminders of what you need to be cautious of after that treatment. Say, for example, you need to remember to put sunblock in. You need to remember not to put makeup over the injection site and such and such. So the patients, when they receive that, they will feel a difference from your practice than another practice. And even if you charge higher, just like you said, in airlines, you will pay higher, you will pay more for better service.
Couldn't agree more. Yes. And it's that going on beyond. I totally agree. Hotels are the same.
Exactly.
Why do you pay $600 a night a room or $100?
Exactly.
It's these things.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting. Can you please sort of tell me on how you scale yourself or leverage off your expertise and make all the patients feel that they've got that connection with you in your business?
In my practice, I think I spend 80% of the time talk to my patients.
Okay,
so doing the procedure is actually, I think, it's a boring part for me.
Right.
I talk to my patients. We are like friends.
Lovely.
We know how many kids they have. She knows how many kids I have. Mm. Like which school they go to. Where do you ski in December? You know, that kind of
stuff.
Where
do you ski in December?
I went to Japan.
Yeah, I was going to say. Where in Japan do you go? So many Australians go to Japan skiing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, a lot. Up to Hokkaido regions and stuff.
Yeah. But the trip I went over Chinese New Year, it was not good.
Oh.
So warm. It was like 8 degrees on the top of the hill.
Oh.
I was wearing a short sleeve and just a jacket. I was like, what is this?
I know. Crazy. It's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame it was like, a little
but
bit.
But still, warm. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's fantastic. So I suppose, what were the wins that demonstrated to you that your business was going to be a success or will be a success moving forward? What are the things that are working well in your business that you feel are showing that?
I think customer loyalty reflects all of that. If your patients don't come back, no matter what they do, even a simple procedure like just a laser, if they don't come back, that is just something wrong.
Absolutely true.
It's never the problem of money. It's never. I don't think it's always the money problem. It's never. Of course, it takes part. It has its contribution. But when the patient just never comes back, you have to reflect on what has gone wrong.
Do you contact that patient?
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay. In what way?
We give them free treatments to come back.
Oh, seriously? Well, here's the secret sauce.
Oh, yes. Like if you straight to the face, ask them, oh, what is it wrong? Why are you not coming back? They will not tell you. They will never tell you.
But you entice them back.
Yeah.
And then
just try again.
And you win them over, generally?
In general.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, tell me a bit more about you've got a chain of clinics in Hong Kong. So how many clinics do you have?
Well, I left the clinic already. So at that time, we had 8 different chains.
Yes.
Which is already the biggest compared. I know it's nothing compared with what you have in Australia.
Yeah.
So at that time, we have about 8 to 9 clinics in Hong Kong. Wow. And then we also have a few in China, mainland, and a few in Macau.
Right.
So it was challenging in a way that it's hard to deploy one policy to all.
Yeah.
Because doctors, as you know, really high ego.
No, I've never noticed that, Raymond.
Oh, they really have
high
ego.
I'm being very sarcastic.
Oh, my God. You know, they never face themselves.
Yeah.
Never. Okay, so I think over the years I've learned, is that you have to lower your ego.
Yes.
And just to face your weaknesses.
Yeah.
You have to know your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a challenge for any person to do that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Your training academy.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
That started 3 years ago, actually, right before COVID started. I had nothing to do, so I decided to do something online.
Ah, like start a podcast. Yes. I started the podcast. You started a training academy. Yes. Okay.
So basically, the platform offers different online classes. If you go to our website, you can find the info on different classes.
Mm. So, we'll put those in the episode notes for anybody who's listening. If they're interested in those training courses, it'll be the contact details will be in our episode notes.
And what differentiates our platform to other training platforms is that we are very brand-based.
Mm.
So we have brand-based training. So we have a Tiaksan module, we have an Elegant module, we have a MERS module. So within those modules, we teach you how to inject specifically with those products.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
And not only the on-label users, which the drug companies will always talk about, which you guys will be bored about.
Mm.
I will go quite specifically into the off-label users with brand-specific indications. So it's a win-win situation between me and the drug companies.
Mm.
I can talk about the things that drug companies cannot officially teach, and then we can rely on each other.
That's great.
On the teaching.
No, fantastic. And they're leveraging off your knowledge. And
yes.
Because you're applying it practically.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
So users will find it more practical. Mm. And apart from the online classes, we have organizing different small group masterclasses. But because I can only inject in Hong Kong, so most of these classes will be held in Hong Kong.
Mm.
But this is the exciting part. We have a cadaver masterclass in Bangkok coming up in August this year.
August 2024.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, wow. We'll put some more information about that too.
Yes. Great. So it'll be a great event. So this is the first cadaver course that we organize.
Yes.
And so hopefully we can have more coming and learn something.
And are you going to be the dissecting physician?
Oh, yes. We are in cooperation with Professor Rong Sima, who is the most famous professor in aesthetic medicine in Thailand.
Wow.
So we'll be working on this project together, which is very exciting.
That is very exciting. Yes. Well done.
Yes.
I have run a few cadaver workshops over my time, and it's very, very fascinating. And the attendees benefit from it so much.
Yes.
We'll also put some information in the episode notes about that. All right. I suppose now is the bit about the secret sauce.
Mm.
What do you think was the pivotal and key decisions you made in your business that led to success?
I think the key is to find a good mentor. Find a good mentor that has a vast knowledge on the things that you are not familiar about.
Yes.
Knowledge on skills that you don't have or you think you will never gain. For doctors, I don't think there are just only very few doctors out there that has a really strong commercial sense.
Mm.
We're not trained to do that. If you have interest in commercials, you'll be going to finance. You won't be doing medicine.
Exactly. No, and that's exactly why I have a business. It's because there's that you don't get taught this at medical school, but...
Yep.
These are the concepts that are very important to you as well. So like the recommendation of finding coaches and mentors, I couldn't agree more.
Yes.
Thank you for that. So Raymond, now we're coming up to the part of the podcast that I like to call rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
So these are questions I'm going to ask. And what is your first response? So what is your definition of success?
The definition of success to me is how much of an impact you're making on the industry. So if people remember you, if people change the way that you work because of a sentence that you said, or because something that you have coached about, or something that you have talked about, I think you're successful.
Oh,
you don't need to be successful in a way that you don't need to have a really big chain of clinic. You don't need to have a lot of income or cash flow or revenue. I don't measure success by numbers.
Yes.
I measure success because we're living in a place where we talk to each other. It's a human place. So I think I measure success by how much of an impact you make around yourself.
Yes. And, you know, I think I agree with you. And your definition of success is a deep definition. And I agree with you. It's the impact and influence.
Like yesterday I was in Sydney, I met Dr. Adina.
Yes.
And then she said to me, we've known for 5 years. So the first time I was here with Hyok-san, and then I met her.
Yes.
And then she said to me, we had dinner together the night before last night. And then she said, oh, Raymond, I love you. I like your training. After I went to your training, it changed the way that I inject. And I still do it the way that you taught me until now.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm so touched.
Yes.
About that. And yeah. That's successful.
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
And as the definition of a success, and with that feedback, what did that make you feel other than being touched? Does that empower you or give you a sense of satisfaction or motivate you?
Hell yeah. All of the above.
Isn't it amazing?
All of the above.
So we're talking about giving.
Yeah.
Giving, and that's so exciting,
yeah.
You know, in this space.
Yeah, so I had a text from my wife last night, and she goes, are you enjoying of what you're doing? Because I fly so much.
Yeah.
I'm away from my family for so much time, a month. Sometimes I just feel a little bit bad about that.
Yes.
And then my wife, do you enjoy what you're doing? I said, yeah, I do enjoy teaching. And she goes, why? And I said exactly the same thing. People change the way that they work.
Yeah.
And then she said, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you're sharing this. It's wonderful. Now, the next rapid fire question.
Mm.
What business decision did you make that if you had your time again, you would handle differently?
Well, if I had the time, I would love to learn a lot more about marketing and digital marketing. Because nowadays, you know, everybody has their phones.
Mm.
Everybody's on Instagram, Facebook. So if you have knowledge on how to promote your business on social media, that would have a great, great, great impact on the business. But nowadays, there's just so much people out there.
Mm.
They say they have a professional knowledge on digital marketing.
Mm.
Everybody said they know what they're doing. So I think it's good to do that myself, if I can do it, rather than relying on other people.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
But that's obviously an area of interest that you've got as well. Yeah. You've obviously, your mind's in half clinical business, like we were discussing before. And my final rapid fire is, what's on the horizon for your businesses, Raymond?
Well, I'm going to start my AI company.
Okay.
So I'm not busy enough, you know.
Wow. Yeah, well, that was the topic of conversation this morning in all the presentations.
Yeah.
With what focus?
How to utilize the AI tools, or how to develop an AI tool that can help in aesthetic medicine.
From a clinical perspective?
On a clinical perspective and on the perspective on how to drive your business.
Wow.
So the model that we're going to work on is we're going to use AI to replicate how a doctor do a consultation on a patient based on the numerous parameters that we capture from the photo machines, from skin analysis.
Mm.
So we gather all those data and then we feed it to the AI, and then we train the AI to consult the patients the way that the doctor does. So even if the doctor is away, if the doctor is not available, we can use the AI tools to have a similar kind of consultation outcome to that particular physician.
Well, that would be amazing.
Yes.
That comes with it so many levels of medical indemnity, consent and all those things, but definitely the fact that on a higher level, that fact that we can scale your knowledge and being more than one person is absolutely exciting.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Raymond. I am so excited and look forward to seeing more about that. I think this is the future. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Dr. Diaries.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and I look forward to connecting with you in the future
again. Me too.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Doctor Diaries. You can find out more about our amazing guests on our website, hanyaoversby.com.au, or join our Instagram page, Doctor Diaries Podcast, to find out more about our podcasts. We look forward to you joining us again.